Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. And Charles, I hear where you are, it is not 8 o'clock at this current time.
No, it is not. I am in Oxnard, California, 6 a.m., here to do, as I told Joe, I'm here to do my service.
Attaboy. If that's not dedication, I don't know what is. Charles, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So let's start on the Aaron Rodgers front, because he is taking a pay cut, $35 million roughly, the number. $110 million was guaranteed in his original deal, now $75 million fully guaranteed. What do you make of that decision by Rodgers, and I guess what does that tell you about how he views his time with the Jets as he moves forward?
Well, I'm sure the Packers are thrilled at this news.
Packers fans? As a Packers fan, I can tell you I'm very thrilled with it, too. It's awesome.
Yeah. I will say this. It makes the deal make a little more sense. I know everyone said, well, geez, look at the assets they gave up, and this is so crazy that it's only, you know, you're doing this only for 1 year, and I don't know, man. This to me feels like it was pretty obvious that when Rodgers was talking to the Jets, there were a couple of things he was saying. Number one, guys, probably going to be there beyond 2023. You know, let's see how I feel. And he's even said this, you know, when he's spoken to the media, you know, it all depends on how his body feels. But first off, I mean, he looks like he's lost a lot of weight. Like, he looks so thin. I was stunned. I mean, it reminded me of Brady, you know, last year when Brady reported to Tampa. I'm like, man, what is going on in terms of, you know, the physical standpoint? So I don't know if he just slimmed down because he felt like, hey, this is, you know, maybe carrying less weight in camp will help me over the course of the season. But he said repeatedly how much fun he's having, you know, how much he feels refreshed and invigorated. You talk to people in the organization and there's a reason why you hear people kind of compare it to the Brady situation in Tampa, just how it sort of changed Tom's mindset a little bit and gave him new life. And that's how they're looking at it with Rodgers. But the pay cut also had to be something that he spoke about, you know, with the Jets. I know the Jets wanted to extend some of their young guys, get Quinn and Williams done. And that was going to be difficult to do with the, you know, the huge cap number that Rodgers was carrying. But what it facilitates now that I think is interesting is, you know, Dalvin Cook. It makes total sense. As soon as I saw this, I was like, okay, well, that to me really extends the runway for Dalvin Cook to be signed by the Jets in what's going to be clearly an all-in push for the Super Bowl the next two seasons. Cook's going to visit there. I would be surprised now if they don't get a Dalvin Cook deal done and if some of this other money isn't directed into some other contract extensions next off season as well. So, you know, this is so far, I will say this for the Jets, it's turning out about as perfectly as it could in terms of the start. And I'm going to be very careful about how much I read into this and how much I believe it. But when you talk to people in the organization too, one of the things that they're raving about is like, you should come here and see how he's working with Zach Wilson. You know, you should come here and see what he's doing for this kid, too. So it's like right now, everything that they hoped would happen is happening. But, you know, let's wait and see. You know, Mekhi Becton's already missing practice with worries about the knee and, you know, whether or not it can hold up. And so we haven't hit the injury phase yet for the Jets, but so far they're pretty thrilled about this.
So basically, a couple Super Bowls, and then he's got Zach Wilson ready to just continue the
keep it going.
Just the avalanche of Lombardis coming to New York, huh?
You know, I mean, like, I would say this, even if let's just say that they make the playoffs, right, for a couple of seasons. Let's say they don't even win a Super Bowl. I think the Rodgers signing, whatever, you know, it teaches, I think, that because they have a very young roster there, I think whatever he adds there that maybe instills some culture, if you come out on the other side of that and Zach Wilson is viable, it was worth the trade just to make that kid viable. I mean, to reclaim a number two overall pick that, frankly, had they not dealt for Rodgers, and this isn't going on right now, could be a disastrous situation for the Jets to be strapped with a quarterback who is just not, doesn't have the ability to turn the key on your team, and yet the surrounding team is so good. It would be a disaster, and instead it's the complete opposite. I don't know if Wilson will work out. We'll see, but I think the plans that they had and the conversations I had with the organization before they made the trade, so far what you're hearing publicly is everything they were talking about privately before it finally went down.
So, Charles, what did you make of the Justin Herbert contract, and what do you think this now means for Joe Burrow as they look ahead here?
It's going to be interesting. You know, I mean, it doesn't, I think the numbers that we look at, you know, for Herbert, I think we all knew when his deal comes in from an APY standpoint, he was going to leapfrog to the top of, you know, the heap. So what, he's 52.5 million APY. It's again, remember it's tacking on 5 years of control as well. So it's not like this is tearing up the final 2 years of what would have been control of Herbert's deal. So at the very least, they're getting 6 years ultimately out of control, but I think it'll be 7 years of control out of this deal. So it's, I think for Burrow, he's going to have to figure out whether or not this idea of taking a team-friendly deal, what that looks like. You know, I know Mike Brown has been, the Bengals owners, repeatedly sort of said he wants to do a Patrick Mahomes type deal, or he's hinted that he wants to do a Patrick Mahomes deal with Burrow, that that's something that, you know, Burrow's mentioned. He knows other guys on the team got to get paid. The one thing I would say, though, is just because Burrow, let's say Burrow does a Mahomes deal. Let's say he gives up 10 years of control, you know, maybe even takes a contract that puts him APY at the top of the heap for now. You know, maybe it'll be beat by Lawrence down the line or whoever else. And then, you know, he knows, like Mahomes, like what, the eighth highest paid quarterback right now. He knows it'll be outpaced in the next 2, 3, 4 years. There's still no guarantee that if he does that, both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins end up staying in the fold there. T. Higgins, I'm telling you right now, when you talk to other teams, they look at his combination of size, ability. They see him as a potentially like a top 10 wide receiver in the league, which means that's a 20 million plus player easily. The Bengals, I just don't know if the Bengals can pay that kind of money for both Chase and Higgins. And I would caution people. And frankly, if I talked to Burrow, I'd be like, hey man, Rodgers thought when he signed his deal in Green Bay, Devontae Adams was coming right in the wake of him. And then Devontae Adams made a business decision for himself, and Higgins is going to be faced with that. He's going to know, his agent's going to make sure he knows, here's the teams that are lined up, here's the money that's there for you. This is going to change the trajectory of your life, your career. Once you, you know, basically once you move into that echelon, that makes taking a pay cut 4, 5, 6 years down the line a lot easier, because you're still really high up in the wide receiver tree when it comes to finances. So it's still tricky, I think, ultimately for Burrow to make this decision where, you know, he does a Mahomes type deal and hopes that money gets directed into other parts of the wideouts. By the way, I mean, geez, even with the Mahomes deal, I mean, the wide receivers aren't looking that great right now.
They are not. City, right?
Doesn't matter if you can complete behind the back passes, though. You know, he finds a way. So, Charles, you are, okay, you're in California, leaving the Cowboys, heading to the Rams. That brings up something we were talking about earlier this week. You know, what are the teams that at some point, maybe quickly this season, are going to start pivoting and looking toward Caleb Williams in the top of the draft? I feel like the Rams are a candidate to just absolutely be trash this year. I know McVay said, you know, other teams approach about Stafford, and they were going to, you know, they were unanimous that they were keeping him, but you think that's a possibility, that maybe Caleb Williams just kind of drive over, you know, stay in L.A., be a Ram?
I mean, it would have to be some kind of a disastrous injury early. You know, I think, like, my plan when I get in with the Rams, you know, I'm going to have a chance to sit down with McVay and Lesney, the general manager, and Kevin Demoff, the team president. I think it's, you know, I think my first question to them is, like, look, like, I'm going to be blunt. your critics are looking at you and saying this isn't a playoff roster, and the three chief pieces of why any window would be open at all, which are McVay, Aaron Donald, and Matt Stafford, all appear to have, you know, kind of one leg out of things. Oh, if you look over the last like 12 months, oh geez, Matt Stafford from a health standpoint, is he going to stick around? Aaron Donald sort of in a wait and see mode year to year. Sean McVay had that moment where it's like, does he want to continue coaching? Anyone on that trio leaves, it means the rebuild kicks in. And so, you know, I think if there's a Aaron Donald injury early, if there's a Matt Stafford injury early, or things just absolutely don't go their way, is there a chance that there's a shift inside the organization? I want to hear them answer, you know, really what that question is. You know, do I think if things crash and burn in the first month of the season, are they candidates? Sure. There are going to be a lot of teams that in that first 4 to 6 games, if things go horribly, this quarterback class is so good. I'm not going to say teams are tanking, but they're going to sit there and go,
thanking.
If there's any year, yeah, I mean, it's like the, you know, Victor Wembanyama thing in the NBA. It's sort of like, oh, there's any year you want things to fall apart. This is probably not the worst year when you've got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, a number of, I mean, just wait till the Joe Milton stuff really starts. I mean, we think it's in gear now. Yeah, let's just wait. Give this, you know, if he showcases that arm, and, you know, I'm very, very curious to see when we're halfway through this NFL season to see, you know, how quickly he's flying up, you know, potential draft boards. So I think they're a candidate. Look, I'm going to be with the Raiders. I'm going to be with the Cardinals after the Rams. Are those two teams that I think are candidates? Yeah, absolutely. I think the Raiders could absolutely crash, and that Jimmy Garoppolo contract isn't anything that you can't exit. You know, the Kyler Murray deal with Arizona is definitely tougher, but I think if you're sitting there staring at Caleb Williams and things crash and burn in Arizona, where, you tell me, who are Kyler's supporters? Like, unless it's Bidwell, unless it's ownership, so the whole building of people that are going, yeah, we need this guy, we need him to get right, and if he doesn't, do we really want to stick around with this contract? Can't we figure out a way to get out from under this? So there are going to be plenty of teams, I think, with Caleb Williams and maybe even a Drake May or some of these other quarterbacks that are going to sit there and go, hey, if we have to reevaluate where we're at this position, this is the draft to do it.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We've got more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports here with us on the program. And Charles, I want to kind of focus in on where you've been, and that's with the Dallas Cowboys. They're really intriguing to me this year from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, you look at the NFC, and there's Philadelphia and there's San Francisco, but certainly on paper, not as much of a juggernaut conference as the AFC is. And I look at Dallas, you've got Mike McCarthy, and there's always pressure that comes along with that job. Dak Prescott and the turnovers from last year. Like, this feels like a pretty gigantic year in Dallas to make some noise, or maybe we could see some changes at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when you come here and you look at the roster, you see a lot of young guys that are going to get playing time. But then you also see, you know, they've clearly tried to balance it out and accentuate their opportunity by, you go and you get a Stephon Gilmore, right? You go and you get a Brandon Cooks. You know, Dak's going to be 30 this week. I think Saturday he turns 30.
Yep.
You have, you know, Tyron Smith, you have Zach Martin, you have DeMarcus Lawrence at defensive end. You have a number of guys that when you look at their contract situations, you look at their money, and then you kind of look at where they are in their careers, they may not be here next year. I mean, you know, maybe there's a situation worked out where, you know, some of these guys, let's see what happens with Zach Martin. He's still not here. He definitely is wildly underpaid, you know, for his position, but where his age is at, the Cowboys aren't sitting there staring at him and going, yeah, he's got 2 years left on his deal. Let's go ahead and tear this up and give him, you know, another 5-year deal. I think they're seeing the window shortening there. You know, Smith and Lawrence, you know, these are guys that might be gone next year in free agency. Gilmore, same deal. You know, Cooks probably hangs around just because his contract is cheap enough and they're happy with him being here. But you can see that they feel the window is here. And it's just sort of like, all right, in the middle of moving up all these young players and starting to extend these young players, like, you know, Trayvon Diggs gets the contract extension. You know, Micah Parsons is going to be up. CeeDee Lamb, you know, Stephen Jones, the basically the de facto GM with Will McClay. I mean, they're prioritizing all these young guys for extensions, not the older guys. But they also see the window at the same time. Like you said, the NFC, let's be honest, Detroit almost made the playoffs, the worst defense in the league. And now Aaron Rodgers is out of the NFC. It didn't exactly get more difficult from a quarterback standpoint. So the opportunity, I think they feel like, is still there. So part of that is I think they're hoping they have more explosive offense with Tony Pollard taking more of that centerpiece role at the running back position. Brandon Cooks watching him on the field. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, Michael Gallup looked better. So their top three wide receivers between Cooks, Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb are going to be pretty dang good. And, you know, Pollard's going to be more explosive out of the backfield. As long as they can protect Dak and get Zach Martin in here, offense should be pretty good, even with, you know, Mike McCarthy talking about balancing it more between the run and the pass. You know, like Dallas, quietly, could this be a Super Bowl year for Dallas? Finally, you know, you see the breakthrough. Remember, they retained Dan Quinn as well as defensive coordinator. Yeah, I think it's there for them in the NFC and what the talent looks like. But if it doesn't happen, there's going to be some adjustment moving forward. Some cornerstones are going to be moving out the door. And interestingly, I came here thinking this is going to be the annual Jerry Jones, you know, deal where he hints really hard at, you know, the Super Bowl being the expectation. McCarthy kind of did it for him. I was surprised. You know, McCarthy said that he insinuated the culture, but I kind of felt like he even was saying the roster is the best that it's been in the 4 years that he's been here, which is crazy. I think this is his fourth year. You know, I was like, oh my God, he's lasted 4 years. I completely forgot that he's made it. But Dallas should be a pretty good team this year, especially in the NFC. And but you do see when you stare at the roster, you're kind of like, ooh, this is a crossroads year for them. Team's not going to look the same from the sort of staple all-pro, Pro Bowl level names. And wow, Dak really is. We're starting to get into that period of his career where I think Jerry Jones, like he at one point he alluded to, like thinking about over all these years, the number of players who've been through the organization and you never fully got it done with those players. Dak's right in the middle of that prime. So you're sort of like, okay, dial back and think about the middle of Tony Romo's prime and what they thought they were going to be able to do with him and they never finished it off. He's thinking that way with I think, Dak and some of these other pieces.
So, Charles, I saw initially the other day, okay, Saquon Barkley has agreed to a one-year deal. So I'm like, okay, so what, they give him 14 or something? Like, you know, let's be real about his value to this team. It's very high, but he gets a few more bucks than the tag would have gotten him. I mean, just another.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, right, exactly. Right? Yeah, possibly he can earn that, which I view as another slap in the face. I know you're a running back hater, as we've discussed before on the show. But we got this call, you know, with people going back to the last CBA, and you know, there's a lot of talk about doing something here. Is there anything actionable at any point here to change this?
No. Come on. Like, it doesn't. I hate to side with Jim Irsay. This is where the running back has pushed me into this corner. You know, but Jim Irsay coming out and saying, like, hey, we just negotiated a CBA. This idea that we have to have a cutout in the CBA for one position is ridiculous, is what Jim Irsay is basically saying, the Colts owner. I agree. And he's got Jonathan Taylor who needs an extension. But he's right. I mean, like, no offense to the running backs. I get it. I totally get where they're coming from in terms of the value and feeling like they're kind of getting screwed over here. But let's be real. Like, we really, you know, pretending we didn't see this coming? I mean, this has just happened this year, right? I mean, we've been talking about this really since, I mean, look, straight up, I think the two deals that made it obvious we were going in this direction, how damaging the Todd Gurley deal became with the Rams.
Yep.
And then the Zeke deal. Those are the two deals. When Zeke did that deal, everyone and their brother was like, there's no way he's ever going to make, you know, there's not going to make good on this. This is going to be a very damaging deal to running backs, because it's, all it's going to do is push more owners to think of running backs as not worthy of these, you know, $14, $16, $18 million contract extensions, APY. But also, they're going to start to look at running backs and say, okay, they're one contract guys. You know, if you draft in the first round, you go the 4 years, you kick in the fifth year option, maybe you take them through one or two tags, and then you just kind of, okay, late 20s, let's move on. Let's go on. We'll go draft Breece Hall in the second round. We'll go draft, you know, Kenneth Walker in the second round, a Damian Pierce, you know, in the third round. We can go and get running back value later and replace these guys. This idea of there being some kind of CBA cutouts, crazy. They have the Zoom call, the running packs. You know, they basically come out of it realistically, those guys going, there's nothing we can do. We're kind of screwed here. It is what it is. We're caught in this period of time where there's a devaluation of the position, and we're just going to have to figure out how to operate with it. But I'll say this, Barkley sure as heck didn't help those guys' cases. You know, the whole, you know, I'm willing to sit out, and then I'm basically reporting for $909,000 in extra incentives. I didn't get the tag, the second tag taken off the table. And oh, by the way, let's see. And this is off the top of my head. What, I got to hit 1,300 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns, I think 65 catches, and I get $303,000 a piece for each of those markers. But I only get it if we make the playoffs as a team. Like, man, that's a roll. That's nice there. Like, the Giants caught a lot of green lights last year to have the record that they ultimately did. He's wagering a lot on that team and Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones. So he didn't help the situation, but I'm sorry. There's no running back cutout coming. You know, the position is the position. And, you know, Stephen Jones, I think, was great. You know, when he was here, he was talking with the Cowboys. He was like, it's quarterback league. Like, you know, he's like 20 years ago, these running backs have been all some of the highest paid players in the league. That's the kind of league it was. Not that kind of league now. And as I said last week, I think when we talked, like, talk to agents who do these deals, and they tell you it's all about maximizing quarterbacks, and running back has not looked like. You looked at a position where it's that direct line is not drawn as you know, dark as it used to be.
All right, Charles, real quickly, what's your favorite throwback jersey in the NFL that's come out?
I hate to ask this, but did the Buccaneers make a decision on the creamsicles? Did they say for sure that's going to happen?
I don't know. So. I think it's happening, but I don't know for sure.
I wasn't clear. You know, I had my head buried in other stuff, and I saw some headlines that I just never read. Well, if they're going to bring back a throwback jersey, I want to see the Buccaneers creamsicle jerseys. I really do. I wish. I'd rather just, you know, see a Tom Brady playing those jerseys, but, you know, and it to be a good team, which I don't know if we're going to get that from the Buccaneers. But, I like those jerseys. I hate these redesigns, though, where they just kind of flop. Like, I still can't believe Detroit's alternate jersey is just like, I don't know what they're thinking when they did that. What a missed opportunity.
Just brutal. Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Charles, appreciate you taking time to be with us. Thanks for waking up early, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Hey, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on what Charles had to say, get your reaction to that. Take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game.